Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Rob, let's get into it because we've been talking about how The Last Dance, you know, one of the great things about it is that it is exposing this younger generation, and that could be what, 30 and under, 35 and under,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I would say 30, and because that's most of this stuff is like 30 years old, right? A lot of it.
Yeah. So you're 30 and under, 35 and under, something like that.
35 and under. Even if you were 35, you were 5 years old when this was going on. So you really didn't know what was, you weren't following basketball like that at 5 or 8 years old.
Right. So it's exposing them to Michael Jordan on a much fuller level. Let's put it that way. And you're getting to really see how good he was as a player. You're getting to see his personality and just the whole nine yards, all the scandals and everything. So it's good. But one thing I'm seeing, Rob, and we see it with Rob G every Monday when we do the Millennial Minute.
Right.
And I saw it with Nick Wright, and you're seeing it, you're some on social media. People are, and finally, let me throw it out, this one. The Yahoo.com, friends of the show, Vinny Goodwill, your ex-nephew.
That's right.
Friend of the show. Chris Haynes, our colleague at FS1. Friend of the show. Those are both guys that are guests a lot on our show.
Yep.
They actually did a round table, and the question was, did the Chicago Bulls ever beat a great team?
Right.
So people are trying to poo-poo the Michael Jordan era. They're saying, oh, when they had super teams, the Bird Celtics, the Magic Lakers of Showtime, even the, you know, Bad Boy Pistons, he didn't beat those guys till the end. And then in the 90s, you had, you know, expansion, you know, had some more teams, and most teams only had one, maybe two big-time stars, so it was watered down. So they're trying to poo-poo his competition. And you and I get, look, you're obviously harder on LeBron than I am. I don't think I'm hard on him, but we keep it real. We both got him second in the GOAT conversation. And I think a lot of that stuff comes from those criticisms, comes from people who want to say LeBron is the GOAT. And so that's why they're ripping his teams.
Well, they need
something.
And I just
think it's time to put a stop to it.
Absolutely. And you should. But that's what it is. They need they need some ammo. They're watching all this stuff. And when you see it, it's like, oh, wow. So they got to kind of come up with something. And it's easy to take a look at teams and say, they always say, oh, the Pistons were old. Go back and look. They weren't 35 years old or whatever. You know, like they're making it like they were, Joe and Isaiah
Joe was
played
relatively
15 years.
Young.
Yes, they were still young. They were not old. Sure, were they the same when they started the run, Chris, 3 years before? No. But they weren't old by any stretch of the imagination.
Right, right. And so here's what, and I've never, ever been critical of LeBron's 8 trips to the finals. That's a great achievement. That's a great accomplishment. And it is to be respected. And I do respect it. But I just want to point something out because people are saying, look at that Knicks team. They took Jordan 7. Who'd they have other than Patrick Ewing? John Starks, Charles Oakley, Derek Harper. A prominent agent, I'm not going to say his name, a prominent agent for a top player today called me. You really think Jordan would average 40 today? Those Knicks teams didn't have anybody. Those Pacers teams didn't have anybody. A semi-great Reggie Miller. And then what? Like, you know, this is the type of stuff that's coming at us. Okay? And I would say this. Let's look. I've never done this because I don't believe in it. You, but all the players are great today. Teams, there's some great teams today.
But if you want to tear down competition,
right,
we can do that. All
right, right. If we really want to look at it, then let's look at the teams LeBron beat when he got to the 8 straight finals. Now he had himself, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh, 3 of the top 10 players in the league at that time, all in their primes. And they beat a Boston team that, Rob, and I think this is fair. That Boston team, while not ancient and old with Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen, and Paul Pierce, I think we can equate them to the Pistons when Jordan beat them.
Yes.
Is that fair?
That's fair.
Won their championship toward the back ends of their primes. You know, they're not quite what they used to be, but still good. So that's one team. Chicago, with Derrick Rose.
And nobody. And
right.
Nobody.
Bunch of role players. Carlos Boozer had seen his better years. You know, pretty good player. Made a couple All-Star teams.
Noah Luol was Deng. On that team, wasn't he?
Joakim Noah, good role
yep.
player. You
they
know,
all
Luol
right.
Deng.
But there's no Hall of Famers in
right.
that group.
Right.
So what are they talking about?
So would you rather have Derrick Rose in a bunch of role players or Patrick Ewing in a bunch of role players?
And Patrick Ewing is a bona fide Hall of Famer. No ifs, ands, or
Thank
buts.
You. Thank you.
None. Am I right?
And he's 7 feet
None.
Tall. He's a foot yes. taller than Derrick Rose.
And one of the best shooting big men in the history of the league.
Right. And then Indiana, that was a team, actually took the Heat 7 games once or maybe twice. The first year the Heat beat them, they had Danny Granger was the star. Paul George was a youngin' averaging 12 points a game. Roy Hibbert was the big man. He was the Goliath in the middle. And they took the Heat 6. And then the last few years, they took the Heat 7. They had Paul George emerged as a star. But it was still Roy Hibbert, Lance Stephenson, George Hill. Right, Rob? I mean, that's what it
right.
was.
Let's just be honest.
Right. They won 60 games in today's NBA. 62. I mean, and I'm not, and I've never said those teams weren't good, that they weren't legit. That they
right.
were good competition.
For that NBA in that time, they were, Chris.
Right.
They were. And those were the best of the best of the best. But to try to go through and cherry pick and say, you can say whatever you want. We get it. John Starks was not some big star either, Chris, when you talk
right.
about him. But
right.
don't you want to go watch that dunk that they showed during the Last Dance
yep.
where he dunked over Horace Grant? Was it Horace?
Jordan was coming in. I mean, it was more
Jordan
so over Horace, I believe.
Right, but Jordan, those two guys, that's one of the great dunks in playoff
yep.
history. Are you
Left-handed.
Kidding?
Left-handed, yep.
He switched hands in the air and dunked over both of them. You know, they both got there eventually at the rim. But you know what I'm saying? That's a great, he was a really good
he
player.
He made an
for
all-star
four,
team or two.
Yes.
Yeah.
For 4 or 5 years, Chris, he was a really good player. Not a Hall of Fame or anything, but he don't act like he was a scrub. He was
well,
not a scrub.
And also, a great team is not just, let's throw 3 all-stars together and it's a great team. We saw that with Houston. We'd be raving about them as a super team now when they had Charles Barkley, Scottie Pippen, and Hakeem Olajuwon. They didn't win. They got beat by Utah. But we would be like, that's a super team. In fact, let's call it like it is, Rob. Mark Aguirre, and we're going to have him on. I want to ask him specifically about this because we've talked in general about it before. He was a star in Dallas. He was averaging 26 points a game some seasons in Dallas. I think 1 year averaged 29. And not on a bad Dallas team. He averaged 26 on a team that went 7 games in the Western Conference Finals with Showtime. So he was, if a Mark Aguirre, if a player doing that today, joined 2 other legit stars in Isaiah Thomas and Joe Dumars, what would we say? Super team.
Yep.
And in fact, they had Adrian Dantley before Aguirre, who was a great star, Hall of Famer. So the point is, those were some great, talented teams, but it's not just about putting stars together. They have to fit, like the Bad Boy Pistons fit together. And so if you just want to say, well, these teams only had 1 star, they couldn't have been that good, that's not accurate because chemistry, role, knowing your role, all of that's important. Let's finish this little exercise, though, with LeBron's 8 trips. Atlanta, when he got to Cleveland, they beat Atlanta. Rob, remember that team?
Yes.
That Atlanta team in the conference finals won 60 games. Damari Carroll, Al Horford,
who?
Jeff Teague,
who?
Kyle Korver.
Who?
I mean, that was thank you. Al Horford was their best player. They had Paul Millsap, too.
Right.
Then they beat Toronto.
Okay, right.
But they won 60 games in today's NBA. That's supposed to be so much better. Toronto, they had two guards, Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan, and then a bunch of role players. That's who he beat the next. Then Boston, whose best player was 5'9", Isaiah Thomas. And he was hurt in that series. So they had a bunch of young boys that LeBron and them beat. And then the next year, of course, Kyrie is hurt. And the young cats, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, they take the Cavs 7. Now, again, I've never poo-pooed that, but it's just, don't tell me Jordan never beat good teams if your argument is LeBron beat all these behemoths. Because he didn't. The Dallas team he lost to wasn't some super great team. Am I right?
No. People like, what? They couldn't believe that Dallas won that championship.
Right, right.
So,
in Jordan's era, you had teams with one or two superstars. That's how it is in most eras. Heck, with the great Warriors teams, Rob, Kevin Durant, the team that almost beat them, right? Oklahoma City had them down 3-1.
Yep.
They had two stars, Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook.
At that point, yep.
That's what they had. And then a bunch of role players. And so they had the great Warriors team beat.
So this whole narrative, this false narrative that's out there is totally, it's just false. It just is. And the same thing where the person who called you, Chris, today, the
yep.
executive, Michael the Jordan agent, playing yep. today, in today's rules? Today's rules? When
right.
you can't touch anybody? Seriously.
Come on. No question. And the three-point shot, you're shooting the three more?
Exactly.
You know? So come on.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I got to trash this latest story on ESPN.com that ranked the top 74 individual seasons in NBA history. Now, why they chose 74, I guess because it's the 74th year, right, of the NBA.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, so I'm wondering, I don't know if they tried to go by one per year. Is that, you would think you just go with every MVP, so hopefully that's not what they used. But the fact of the matter is this. Russell Westbrook averaging a triple-double is nowhere on their list.
And remember, he did it. No one had done it since the Big O in Cincinnati. I mean, are we serious, really?
Right.
Really?
I'm sorry. And we hate to keep pounding this drum, but it keeps coming up. Analytics. I mean, that's the only explanation for why a guy who has done something positive that no one else in the history of the NBA has done could not be on this list. 74? The top 74 seasons? And he wasn't, individual seasons, he wasn't one of them? And you said nobody since Oscar Robertson did it. And I believe that might have been 61-62 season.
Yeah, that's,
when Oscar averaged a triple-double.
Right.
Okay. So that was, you know, what's that? I don't 50-some-odd years. But not only had nobody done it since Oscar, nobody else had done it, period. And I mean, I'm sorry. There is no way that a triple-double for a season. Because I guarantee you this. If a LeBron had done it, and I'm not even picking on LeBron, but
no,
I bet you that it'd
honest.
Be in there.
It would
it'd
be the most unbelievable thing to have seen.
Right.
There's no doubt about it. It's a total disrespect for Westbrook and the game for him to be able to do that. And the other part, Chris, and this is why I always defend him, look at what their record was when he
yes.
got triple doubles. They
yes.
won.
Yep.
He didn't put up numbers and they had a losing record.
That's
they
right.
won at a high clip. That means that they were meaningful.
Right. Great point. It was a very, an incredibly high clip when he won.
It was.
So him getting triple doubles, it wasn't about stat padding. It was about, I need to do this for us to win. And, I mean, they got a season where Dwayne Wade, who never won an MVP, Dwayne averaged 27 points, and they got like 10 free throws a game. I mean, I'm just sorry. Like, this is ridiculous. And this is analytics gone awry.
They got Dwayne, really?
They got a George Mike. Yeah, they got. So it's not just the 74 best MVP. We didn't just take the MVPs and rank them. They just got seasons in here where guys didn't win MVPs and, you know, they just rank them as they
are. Totally ludicrous. Totally ludicrous.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry. A guy averages a triple double, a 6'3 guard, no less. And I know you can say, well, the pace is faster and, you know, there aren't as many big men, you know, that are great rebounders. So, and the 3-point shot makes for long rebounds. Well, then why isn't anybody else doing it?
I was just going to say, if it's so easy, then anybody. Now, if you told me there were 5 players who did it when he did it, then it's no big deal. Right.
Okay. Right.
That's not the case. LeBron could have easily, you see what he did this past year with the assist, right? He cranked it up.
Right.
Right. Right. So LeBron could do it if he really wanted to. So it ain't that easy.
No question. And so we just had to vent, I guess, on that. And let me get to the bottom of this and see who you want to wage any guesses at who had the best individual season in NBA history according to them, if I can find it. It was Michael Jordan, 95, 96.
Right. I was just saying, I know it's Michael Jordan, but right. I was just trying to think of
wasn't his best statistical year, but that was a year. Wilt Chamberlain's second year, and they did take championships, which I think is, I mean, I guess you can call it fair, but they took winning and playoff performances and all that into consideration as well. But it wasn't the end all be all because every one of these seasons didn't end in a championship. So, we just both think that's ridiculous that Russell Westbrook's not on there. All right, let's move on, but stick with the league to a Russell Westbrook teammate, Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant, Sean Marks, the Nets GM, has come out and said, you know, he hadn't said implied that Durant might play if they come back. He just hasn't overruled it totally.
He just came out to the press and say he's not playing no matter
right.
what.
That's he hasn't it. Done that. Now, if you had control of the situation, how would you handle it?
He's not playing. This is not you don't want to put him out there in this abbreviated NBA season put together by tape and popsicle sticks. Do you know what I mean, Chris? Like
right.
This isn't the year I want to play him. Let him get healthy. His Robin, right? And Kyrie is right. not healthy. And
he won't be playing until September, so he's probably not playing.
So there's no reason to. There's just no reason. The Nets have a nice little squad. They're in the playoff hunt, whatever. That's nice. Let them get some more experience. They made the playoffs last year, Chris. That's good. I don't have a problem with that. But I'm not putting those guys out there. I want them to be healthy next year, integrate with the guys we have, whatever other moves we need to make. But I'm not putting anybody out there and have a chance of losing him for 2 seasons because I put him out there prematurely.
Yeah, I agree with you. One thing I'll say, and I'm with you, I wouldn't play Durant, especially with Kyrie being hurt, because you can't win the championship. Now, would Kevin Durant potentially think, hey, you know, even though Kyrie's not here, look at the East. I mean, Milwaukee's really good, but they really got one big time star, you know. Boston's young. Philadelphia, you know, they got their issues and their problems. Toronto's not scaring anybody. You know, we got a nice our role players play well. Even without Kyrie, they win games. Can I come in there and win the East? Could he be thinking that? I don't think so, because here's the deal. Even if he felt that way, Rob, there's no way they win in the finals. I mean, barring injuries, They're not. If they were to get out of the East, which I don't think they would, there's no way they. I mean, they wouldn't beat the winner of the West. If it's the Lakers with LeBron and AD, if it's the Clippers with Kawhi and Paul George, if it's, I mean, it's going to be one of those two. So I don't think he'd have hardly any chance of winning a championship. So I think that's what it's really about. Even if you were just thinking I could get to the finals, that's not what it's about. Don't risk messing up the following season. You already missed a season. Don't risk missing another one to go out there and you know, against all odds, have a chance to get to the finals. So I'm with you on that. He definitely doesn't need to do that.
Yeah, it just would be, it just wouldn't make any sense. You made a long-term commitment. You knew he was going to miss this year. That was really, nobody knew that this was going to happen. So you weren't expecting anything. And again, those guys healthy, and if both guys are healthy, Chris, it would be totally different.
Right.
And then I would take a look at it. If Kyrie was healthy and you had the rest of the squad and you were like, okay, there's only Giannis in the way. Maybe we can sneak right. into a championship. Maybe we can. And then right. you never know. Once you're in there and you have a player of Durant's ability, you give yourself a shot. But other than that, I would just wait.
No, I'm with you. And even then, it would be tough because you've never played with Kyrie before. You never, you know, you haven't played with most of these guys, if any of them, before. And so it takes, you know, it's harder to fit a superstar in to a lineup than it is a role player. Because when a superstar comes, things change. Guys that were used to getting a certain number of shots a game aren't getting them when Kevin Durant's in the lineup. And you have to accept that and be able to adjust to it. You know, Kyrie, who when he steps back into the lineup, you know, whenever he comes back from injury during the season when he did, he was the man. He stepped in as the man. And I can shoot when I want to. Well, now you got Kevin Durant, it's going to be a little different. And so they need all of that time to adjust and develop that chemistry. So I'm with you. I don't think it would be worth it to bring Durant back. I'm not sure, but you would think he's going to be maybe 100% or very close, you know, when they start playing.
And even
but
if he wanted to, Chris, this is where we talk about it all the time. Sometimes organizations have to step in and stop players. You know what yep. I mean? To go, dude, I get it. You're a ball player. Your occupation, you play. That's what you yep. do for a living, right? I get it. And you yep. want to get out there and you want to, like when he played for Golden State and everybody was like, oh, yeah, he wanted to get back out there. And some people questioned it. It wasn't after he got hurt that everybody said, oh, that was a mistake. There were people before that who just thought, I don't know if that was the right decision to even give him that option. But I get it because guys are competitive. They want to play. But in this case, I've been like, you already been through this. You want to yep. do it again?
Right. And you would think there might even be a mental
right?
block
in the playoffs,
there too.
We're going to do that again? We're going right. to do that again?
Right. No question about it.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
You and I both talked to people in the Isaiah Thomas space today. I spoke to a mutual friend of ours who's close with Isaiah. He's close with me. And you spoke to a former player.
A couple of guys,
yeah. Yeah, okay, who know him. And so what I was told, because I said to the guy, kind of what you said to Mark Aguirre, I was like, man, Isaiah taking a beating in The Last Dance.
Right.
He was like, man, he's loving it. I was like, what? He was like, it's like you, first of all, outside of Michael Jordan and the other Bulls like Rodman or Pippen, Isaiah Thomas is the biggest player outside of the Bulls that is starring in this documentary.
No doubt about it. He's gotten, I bet you if you were to look at the amount of time, he's up there with Pippen. I'm telling
right.
you.
Right. And here was the thing. The guy said, look at this. This is what's going on. The GOAT, the greatest player of all time, is obsessed with you. 30 years later, he's still talking about you. 30 years later, he still views you as his nemesis. And we see you were the guy. You're seeing it in the documentary. You were the guy beating him. Little old 6 foot one inch Isaiah Thomas, you were the obstacle. You were the guy he couldn't get past for several years. You were the guy that forced him, and I know it was more than Isaiah, but he was the star. He was the leader of the team. You were the one that forced him into the weight room to get bigger and stronger. He's not talking about Magic. He beat Magic. The one time they met in the postseason, he beat Magic. He's not talking about Bird. You know, I don't know if he lost more than once to Bird, maybe twice, but, you know, early in his career, his nemesis was Isaiah Thomas. And so in a strange way, it when you think about it, it does lift Isaiah's stature. Now, obviously, Isaiah's taken a lot of negativity from this. I mean, that's why he wasn't on the Dream Team. And, you know, so he's taking some shots. There are those that said other guys didn't want him on and all that. But
and there was a story out there with Michael Wilbon that he had to retract, saying that there were 9 players.
Yeah, I don't know where Mike got 9.
I mean,
saw his retraction.
Yeah,
It was pretty much, it was obviously Jordan, obviously Pippen, Magic and him had fallen out. And so I don't know that Magic was speaking against him, but he certainly wasn't pushing for him.
But when you
and
say
Bird
nine, when you say 9 players,
for him, that's 4.
You're basically saying that Mullen and Leitner were the only ones who didn't have an issue with Isaiah. Seriously.
Well, Drexler has come out, and I believe Drexler. Drexler was like, man, I had no issues with Isaiah. They say Karl Malone, you know, so, I mean, because, well, you know, Isaiah put 44 on Stockton the first time they met after the Dream Team was announced.
Oh, yeah. That was and then saying, I belong there, not you.
Right. And then the next time they played is when Malone hit him with that elbow in the paint and had, what, 10 stitches on his forehead or something like that, maybe more. And so maybe Malone, I don't know if Malone, or maybe he had an axe to grind with Isaiah too, but still, yeah, 9 players. But I'm glad Mike retracted that because that just didn't seem right.
That number seemed way high. Yeah,
yeah, way, way high.
But Chris, on the flip side, in talking to some people, it's their reaction is like exact opposite. This is a fight, excuse me, Isaiah can't win. You just not
can't win against Jordan, yeah.
Yes, it's his documentary. It's going to be painted the way he wants to buy into this. And the whole idea or what I was hearing was, right? You did all of it. You won championships, MVPs, Hall of Fame, All-Stars. You did everything you were supposed to do. What are you still fighting about? Why do you care whether Michael Jordan endorses your career or validates you? Right. You don't need him to be validated.
Right.
When you talk about the NBA story and Isaiah Thomas,
Right.
He's in the story. Jordan can't take him out. Can take him out during his playing time and can't take him out afterwards. That Isaiah should just be proud of where he is, what he's accomplished, and leave it at that. If Michael Jordan wants to rip his high school coach and his teammates and other
did
people.
Did he mention
like he
Isaiah
did,
in his speech? I don't think he mentioned Isaiah in his Hall of Fame speech.
But
okay,
do you know what I mean? You remember that?
Right.
That was classic.
He mentioned everybody else.
He ripped everybody. this is my point, is you shouldn't get involved in that and shouldn't have to go out and try to protect yourself or protect your name. His work speaks for itself. So I'm in that camp. So what? Like my only thing is, and I'm mad at, is I wish if Isaiah was going to say anything, and he claims he doesn't know for sure, but expose Mike and say, dude, this is the guy who kept me off the team, and I know X, Y, and Z, if you do know it. And just put Michael Jordan out there from that standpoint on that. But talking about any of the other stuff that went on and the handshake and trying to justify it or whatever, it's done. It's in the books. It's done.
Well, do I think Isaiah would like Michael Jordan's endorsement or, you know, that Jordan would speak kindly of him? Yes, I do think he would like that. But I think the biggest issue that Isaiah has is the dream team. And I get that.
And rightfully so. Right. I do too. But it's done.
It's done, but it's something. And Rob, that was his business. Basketball. It's like you in writing or me in writing. If we really felt we deserve, not only felt, knew, and everybody else of that era knew we deserve some type of accolade, whatever it was, and we didn't get it, we would be salty. Now, I know, look, I would be, if I were in Isaiah's shoes, I would be more of the camp that you said. Like, look, I can't worry about dude. I got my own life to live. I've proven myself. I've done my stuff.
I'm a Hall of Famer.
I'm not worried about what he's saying. Right. But I do understand where Isaiah's coming from with the dream team. Because that even bothers me. I got nothing to do with it. And it bothers me because as great as his legacy is, it would be even greater if he had been on that dream team. And again, there is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He should have been on that team.
What did I say to Mark Aguirre? A travesty in sports, one of the biggest. Yep. So you know I'm in Isaiah's camp. Like some people were like, you know, you think Jordan's the GOAT, but boy, you know, your Deadspin column, you went after him. On the Isaiah thing, you go after him. I'm like, he's not perfect. He was a great player, Chris. He made some mistakes. And when it comes to the history of basketball and what they did, keeping Isaiah off that team was not what you should be remembered by or people should think of you being attached to. I just don't think that he was such a great player, and I'm talking about Jordan, and Isaiah was too in his own right. You don't have to love everybody. Chris, you do it all the time. You've been working in this business 25, 30 years. You don't love everybody you work with, do you?
No.
Doesn't mean that you're going to stop doing your work, does it? No.
And I'm glad you said that, like, people say, well, you say Jordan's the GOAT. How'd you rip him in the car?
Right.
Look, we're telling it like it is.
Yes.
Or like, at least how we see it. And you know, look, I know LeBron. I know his camp very well. I wrote 6 or 7 cover stories on LeBron for ESPN the magazine and spent a lot of time with him. I like LeBron. I love what he's doing on the court or off the court and on the court. But you hear me say Jordan's the GOAT. I mean, just because I like LeBron doesn't mean I'm not going to be objective when I talk about who I think is the better basketball player, who I think is the MVP.
Yep.
And you know, and like you said, with Jordan, we both say he's the GOAT, but we can admit he should have spoken out about the Harvey Gantt thing.
That's right. That column yesterday, Chris, was that a puff piece on Michael Jordan?
No, not at all. Not at all. And people got to understand that, though. You know, I don't want, like, we're going to try to call it like we see it. Like, when we were talking, you know, you and I, when we've gone at it about Steph, and you know, I start bringing up Durant and the 3-1 that he gave it up to, and you know, you don't really deal with it when we're going at it about Steph. But today you dealt with, like, look, let's keep it real. He gave up a 3-1 lead, too. So if you want to start comparing him to Jordan.
Right. If we're going to do that, then we're going to nitpick. That's what we do.
Right.
We're going to nitpick everything. And that's why whenever you start talking about a GOAT, all of a sudden, everything you've ever done is going to be on the table. That's how it works.
Because they're all great. They're all tremendous. They're the best of the best. And so it's little nitpicking that you do to separate them. That's all you can do because they're all tremendous.
I'm curious to see what people listening think the road Isaiah should take.